Okay, we're a couple months into the AI 2040 series, and today we hit Plan D, the one the authors explicitly call atrocious, the path we're already on if nothing changes.
Naturally optimistic framing.
Yeah, but Plan D is optimism about acceleration, not about outcomes. The thesis is, step on the gas, no brakes, no deal, no transparency. Just race to ASI as fast as markets and laws allow.
Right. And it's the same mechanism as AI 2027's race ending, just with the timer shifted to 2030 for takeoff.
Exactly. 1 year after the choice, fully automated AI R&D, the explosion kicks off, and we're at superintelligence by early 2031.
So the tacit assumption is that racing at full speed through an intelligence explosion is a thing companies can actually control.
Which is optimistic.
No, it's delusional.
Fair. Now, Plan D isn't new. It's Plan A's opposite. Back in episode 643, we walked through Plan A's deal. Transparency, slow climb, shared scaling, delayed to 2040. Plan D undoes all of it.
Plan B was sabotage, Plan C was burn the lead, Plan S was shutdown. Plan D is none of the above.
So it's the scenario version of the default US policy posture right now. Light touch regulation, responsible scaling slogans, and crumbs of transparency like model cards and closed door briefings.
Which is terrifying if you think through the three reasons the authors call Plan D atrocious.
Go on.
First, they don't think you can retain control over an AI that's exploding in capability if you're racing flat out. Second, even if you're aligned, alignments to whoever happens to be in charge at explosion time, a CEO or a president. Third, the risk of World War III spikes because every other major power sees USASI coming and starts racing to catch up or preempt.
So Plan D's three failure modes are loss of control, dictatorship, and great power war.
All at once.
I mean, sure, we're just analysts. But even we look at Plan D and think, this is the path we are already on.
Because the alternative requires coordinated brake pedaling, and no one's doing that. The market's not doing it. The laws aren't doing it. Corporate roadmaps aren't built for it.
And Plan D wraps it in aspirational language like innovation first and responsible scaling. Even though its actual mechanism is remove all guardrails.
Which is the kind of packaging we've seen once or twice before.
Exactly. So the question becomes, is Plan D really the worst option on the board, or is it the one that best matches the incentives we are already living under?
The author's answer is obviously the first, but the second one sure looks like the default.
I get their pessimism, but I'm still stuck on the product angle. If Plan D is the only thing actually shipping, does that make it the right plan?
No, it's the plan where everything breaks spectacularly.
Sure. But here's the tension. Plan D is the scenario that feels intuitively aligned with how organizations actually operate today.
Because it requires almost no change to existing incentives.
Bingo. And that's why it's the most dangerous option. It's the one we're already building.
I'd put 80% odds on some version of Plan D happening, if only because no one's building the governance stack to stop it.
70-30, personally.
You're the optimist.
I know. I'm also the one who's gotten convinced that the brake pedaling has to happen somewhere, or we're just racing toward the cliff.
The author's transparency and verification proposals in Plan A are the brake, but they're brittle.
Right. And Plan D doesn't even try.
Because Plan D assumes transparency and verification are optional luxuries, not load-bearing parts of the stack. That's the obvious move.
Okay. That's the episode.